Hello and welcome to the NeoWinCast Gamers Edition podcast. We're finally back, and we're here for the week of February 9th. Hopefully that will be when it's uploaded for you guys to listen. I am Todd Tanner, also known as Locke, your friendly neighborhood gamers news poster. And today I'm joined by a forum moderator some of you may know, Dirty Larry, a.k.a. Dirty Larry.
Yes, hello everyone.
We were both gamers, and we decided, instead of waiting until I can get someone to actually do a podcast with, that we may as well go ahead and start doing one. So we don't know if this is going to be a weekly thing or, once a month or twice a month or whatever, but we're going to try to do it as often as we can. So what we're going to do is we're going to jump right in. We're going to do a few things here. We're going to actually review a few games. Scarily, being that I'm a PC gamer, they're all 360 games, so don't kill me, my PC gaming friends. We're going to do a Call of Duty 3 review, a Rainbow Six Vegas review, and a Lost Planet review. And we're going to start right off with a Call of Duty 3 review, which both me and Dirty Larry have been enjoying for quite some time since it was pretty much released. So we're going to start right off the bat and review Call of Duty 3 for you guys. What we're going to start off with Call of Duty 3, I think the most important thing for fans of the Call of Duty series is the new drivable vehicles that they added for the multiplayer. I think that's pretty much the big overall difference for multiplayer compared to Call of Duty 2, which was, of course, available on the 360 for when the 360 was launched. The only other difference, I think, between the Call of Duty 2 and Call of Duty 3 are the graphics. Obviously, they've updated the graphics quite a bit from Call of Duty 3. But I think the first thing we should mention is the drivable vehicles. They added tanks and jeeps and a motorcycle, or whatever you want to call that thing.
With the little side compartment.
The little side thing, yeah. I think the drivable vehicles, especially the tank, add a nice little layer of gameplay. It spices it up. It's not exactly a deep thing here we're talking about, but I think the tank adds a nice little, oh god, there's a tank coming, let's like get out of the way kind of thing, you know?
No, yeah, definitely.
If you're doing a deathmatch, a team deathmatch map, obviously the tank is just there to kill people. If you're doing a different kind of gameplay mode, like capture the flag or, you know, something like that. Obviously, the tank is a much more strategic thing. If you could control the tank, your team can control a spawn point or a flag or whatever it's going to be. I think it adds a nice little layer. I'm sure a lot of people would disagree with me.
One of my favorite things about it, too, is the way that as you're on foot, you could actually hop on top of the tank and drop a grenade in. I think that was a nice little touch that they added, too.
Yes. Oh, and I have to mention that the animation of going in the tank is very nicely done. Unfortunately, you can get killed extremely easily when you're going in and out of a tank. It's like really kind of delayed, I guess is the way to describe it. You hit the X button to go into the tank, and like 3 seconds or 4 seconds it actually takes to get in, you could very easily get killed.
That seems to be a problem that pops up in a lot more games than it should, actually, I think.
I don't know if that's a decision of the developers or if it's a limitation playing on a console. I don't know. I mean, just something a little odd that I guess we should mention being that we're reviewing the game. I think the multiplayer portion of the game deserves a lot of credit here. I think the single player is good, don't get me wrong. The single player really is nothing more than a conglomerate of missions that you play for the different countries. Which do not include the United States this time, by the way. It's just a conglomeration of missions. I forget exactly how many. I haven't actually beaten the single player yet.
But I actually have. It was.
There you go.
It got a lot better towards the end. It was a lot more intense. And are you sure about that U.S. thing? I thought it did include the U.S.
Did it? I could have sworn I read that there was no. You couldn't play as the U.S.
Maybe I'm dead wrong, but I thought
or maybe
towards
it was
the very end.
Maybe the U.S. was. No, you're right. You can't play as the U.S. The U.S. isn't in a multiplayer this time.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You can only play as Germans or British, and I forget the other ones.
Polish, maybe? Was it Polish?
Polish and a couple others. I don't remember now. But the Americans aren't in the multiplayer. Excuse me. It's not actually single player. Because single player, I believe you play as the. The French, part of the French Resistance.
Mm-hmm. The Polish Tank Squad, I know that's
Polish
part
Tank
of it.
Squad, and I believe Americans.
Yep. Yep.
Now that yep. Now I remember that, because the stupid movie that plays in the beginning, if you don't start the game right away, you can see the American part, yeah, duh. But, I think the single player is, unlike other games that have come out for 360, where the multiplayer is just tacked on, I think the single player, and this is just my opinion, is the part that was tacked on here. I think the multiplayer is the big draw here.
Really? That's interesting.
Yeah, I think the multiplayer is much, much more robust than Call of Duty 2. I think the Call of Duty 2 multiplayer is just, you know, it's not tacked on, it's just there. It's
no,
decent.
I agree.
Yeah, it's decent stuff, don't get me wrong. It's not as good as PC multiplayer for Call of Duty 2. Call of Duty 3, I think the multiplayer is way more robust. There's a lot more people playing it. The maps, there's a very good selection of maps. I think the default that it shipped with was 9, if I'm not mistaken. And they're all pretty nice. Most of them are pretty large.
Yep.
They offer a lot of real estate to play on, and they go from the French countryside to everywhere. It's just really, really nice maps. And then very recently they just released the free map, which I can't remember the name of right now, actually.
Champs, was it, I think, maybe?
Champs or something like that, yeah.
Yep.
And then they released a new map pack, which had 5 maps, which were all in the French countryside.
Yeah, which I have not gotten a chance to check out yet myself.
I did, and I happened to have 1,000 points to play with, and I happened to buy it for 800 points. And they're all very, very good maps. Some of them are really beautiful. But we're not going to include that in the review here. We're just going to go with the default here, because some people just do not want to microtransaction themselves and buy stuff. So,
which I can't blame them for.
Yeah, so we're just going to review the original.
I like to call the multiplayer. I tend to refer to it, and I don't mean this as a slam against it at all, but I kind of call it the poor man's enemy territory. You know, the game from the PC that many people should know.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I don't really mean that as a knock, but that's kind of the feel I get from it. You have your different classes and all that, and that's a great thing because I love that game. My only beef with the multiplayer is it's really easy to just kind of get into a rut and just keep dying and dying and dying. That would probably be the only thing that I would say is the downside to the multiplayer. Other than that, I really do think it is fantastic.
Well, I think any multiplayer game has that kind of thing where you get into a rut. But yeah, I have gone stretches where I've died like 15 times in a row. I don't know if it's just because I suck, which I fairly do easily admit that I do. But
yeah, me too.
It does seem you can die pretty easily in that game. And it's also, don't forget that the tanks, man, when they roll by, boy, you're screwed. Because if you don't got cover or you don't have a Panzerfaust or a rocket launcher, boy, you're screwed.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
And another thing we should really quickly mention is they added sprint.
Mm-hmm.
It's not in the single player, only in the multiplayer. And it really helps out. I use it all the time. I don't know about you.
Oh, no. I actually stumbled upon it by accident. And I love, I mean, I just like you said, I use it all the time. I don't think you could play the game without it. It's an integral part.
Another layer of a strategy there. When you can use it, if you can have enough later on to run away from the tank that's about to kill you, you know, that kind of thing. We should also touch on the graphics and the audio. I think I don't have a high-def TV. I have a standard-def television, 32-inch, and I have no idea what it looks like on high-def TV. I assume it looks better. I think the graphics are very nice, comparatively speaking, to other Xbox games. It doesn't obviously look as good as Gears of War or Rainbow Six Vegas or Crackdown or even Lost Planet. No, it doesn't look as good as that. But for Call of Duty 3 itself and for other games of that genre,
yep.
World War II and stuff, I think it looks very decent.
Especially, I mean, there's no doubt that they improved on the smoke and the explosions and
yes.
all that.
Oh, the explosions are terrific.
Yeah, I mean,
they're really good.
I do have a high-def TV, and I got to say it does look pretty amazing. There's sales out there.
Yeah. I think another thing we should mention when it comes to graphics is the grass. I think the grass in Call of Duty 3, other than a few MMOs that are coming out down the road for the PC, I think the grass is probably one of the best implementations of grass I've seen in a multiplayer game. It looks, I wouldn't say real, but it looks really nice. I'd really like it if they made multiplayer or even single-player games where the world actually affected the sway of the grass. I don't know if they could do that yet.
Yep.
You know, where
explosion Crysis.
Makes the... Yeah, well, yeah, Crysis obviously can, but I don't know if they could do it now, but, you know, like an explosion makes the grass sway one way, and, you know, you drive and the grass goes one way, that kind of thing.
Well, see, it's funny that you mentioned that, because when the whole term next-gen first started popping up, that's more or less what kind of popped into my mind. Like, I, you know, better graphics were a definite, but I always envisioned, you know, the little touches like that, what would truly separate an older game from a new game, and it's exactly what you're touching on. You know, if
right.
you step on the grass, there's a footprint, you know, stuff
exactly.
like that. And I think that will come. I don't see any reason why it can't. I just think, you know, as the developers get more and more use with the tools, they'll say, hey, you know, we've kind of pushed the limit on the graphics here. Now what else can we do, you know, with the AI, the environments,
right.
et cetera, et cetera. So I definitely think I and more or less hope that we will be seeing that, and it they can do it. I hope so.
See, I'm not the only one that wants that kind of stuff, see?
Oh, no, definitely. It just adds for more immersion, and that's really, you know, at the end of the day, at least for me, that's really what it's about. Like, when I fire up a game like Call of Duty, you know, that's I want to feel like I'm that soldier for however long I'm playing it. You know, at least a single player, you know, obviously the multiplayer is a little different. You're playing with other people and you're just having fun. But with the single player game, to me, that's what it's all about. Just kind of zoning out for a while and thinking, hey, I am this Polish tank guy, or hey, I am this, you know, American infantry guy running around the trenches, you know. So I think eventually we will start seeing stuff like that.
Yeah. Now, another thing we should touch on is the audio before we finish the review here. I think the audio is pretty good.
I think
music,
it's phenomenal.
Yeah, music is terrific. Most of the Call of Duty games and Medal of Honor, all those kind of games have really good music.
Oh, Call of Duty's always kind of been a standout to me with the sound. Even the first one, I've always thought they nailed the sound all the time. I don't know if it's just the development team or... Well, actually, you know, there's two different developers on it, but... I always thought the audio was kind of standout with Call of Duty. They always do a really good job.
Yeah, I thought some reviews have mentioned that the guns, the sounds for the guns wasn't, you know, there. You know, they didn't have the oomph or whatever. But
no.
I didn't have any problem with them. I thought they were very good.
It was actually one of the first games I got to try out with. I mean, it's not a very high-end 5.1 sound system, but I do have one. And it was one of the first games I was playing when I had, and I mean, I'm talking about hearing everything, like, I really did feel like I was hearing everything. Bullets would whiz by, and it'd be behind me. I thought maybe people just need to put their subwoofers up a little louder, because my girlfriend used to tell me all the time, turn it down whenever I was shooting a gun. So, I think the guns had a pretty good amount of oomph to them. But that's usually a complaint amongst gamers a lot of the times, that the guns sound too tinny.
I think all the guns sounded untinny. I think they sounded pretty good to me. The bar is a large machine gun that the Americans have, pretty much any World War II game. And every World War II game, the bar usually, to me, sounds really crappy.
Mm-hmm.
And Call of Duty 3 is no different. The bar does sound kind of crappy, but that's like every game. I don't know why
right.
the bar can't be done properly. That's just an odd little aside there. You know, like I said, we're doing mostly a multiplayer review here. I guess we could do a little touch on the single player. It's, like I said, it's just a conglomeration of missions for different countries. There's no set storyline, per se, for the single player, other than, you know, you got to rescue this guy or you got to, you know, destroy this kind of thing. There's no storyline. So don't go in expecting, you know, like... you know, a Halo type of storyline.
Right.
They got a really deep thing here.
They do. They tie the stories together very loosely. You know, you'll do a mission that doesn't seem like there's any sense to what you're doing, and at the end, it'll go to a cutscene, and you know, they'll mention the next mission, and that's pretty much the storyline. That's how they tie things together. Which leads me to one of my biggest complaints about the single player is the fact that you had to sit through the end movie of the last level and the beginning movie of whatever level you were currently on. There was no way to skip them. I don't know why they did that. That was a pretty big... I
really hate when games do that, yeah.
And, I could kind of excuse it if it's the movie of the current level you're on, but the fact that you had to replay the last level, too, it just... it was out of control. I mean, and there was no way to skip it. It just drove me nuts.
Well, you know, I don't mind the single player, like I've said on the forums and things a couple times in my news posts. I usually only play the multiplayer. The single player, I will give credit where credit's due. The single player does get extremely intense.
Yeah, that's what's always been my favorite trademark of the Call of Duties, the intensity. I mean,
yeah, there's some parts where it's just so intense that you have no idea what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, being a PC gamer, one of the first games I played on the 360 was Call of Duty 3, and trying to get used to that damn controller from a mouse and keyboard, yep. Going through that first level where you got the church and you gotta like go through, oh man, that's crazy.
Yeah, definitely. I'm still trying to get used to it a year later.
So we're gonna end the review on Call of Duty 3 there with an emphatic semi-positive for the single player, along with an obvious positive for the multiplayer. So we're gonna go with, I guess, two thumbs up, or however Neowin does reviews. I haven't seen a review on Neowin in, like, forever.
Five stars, maybe?
Five stars or a 9 out of 10. I guess we can give it, like a what, 8.5 out of 10 if we're going to go with that?
Yeah, I was going to say around an 80, 85, so yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we'll go into 8.5 or 85 for Call of Duty 3 for the Xbox 360. Only Xbox 360 at this point. So now we're going to move on to another first-person shooter for the Xbox 360, and that's Rainbow Six Vegas, which is also available for the PC, and I would assume eventually the PlayStation 3.
Yeah, it's definitely coming out for PlayStation 3.
So we're gonna start off with the single player, unlike Call of Duty 3, the single player for Rainbow Six Vegas first, which I have not gotten very far in because it's extremely difficult for me as a PC user to play that single player.
I think it'd be extremely difficult for anybody to play the single player. I mean, talk
there's
about...
There's so much complication. It's complicated. Let's put it that way.
It's so frustrating. I mean, that's pretty much the only way to put it. It's rewarding to a certain degree once you do figure out what you have to do. But the fact that most of the time you have to die about 15 to 20 times in order to figure it out. One of the things that annoyed me the most about the game is basically the checkpoint system. With some of them, you would clear out a room and you'd get a checkpoint. And then some of them, it would take 45 minutes later and you get a checkpoint. And that was just really frustrating because, for example, the one that took me 45 minutes, I had to have done it about... And I'm not even exaggerating, about 50 times. And that's just, even though I love playing games, to me that's kind of uncalled for. It's just a lot. And
yeah, I don't understand why they don't have, save any time or save more often type of thing for these kind of games. I really don't understand that.
Especially since they are so tactical and strategical, you know. I mean, and it's so easy. I don't know if you ever tried putting on the realistic setting, but I humored it for a minute.
I've tried it, yeah.
I mean, I could not imagine playing the whole game that way. I mean, yeah, it's cool and it's fun that it's that realistic, but at the end of the day, I couldn't have the patience to do it. It's because of the checkpoint system. If they let me save any time...
Yeah, I would never try that realistic mode unless I had a mouse and keyboard to play with, because that's just retarded with a controller.
Yeah, no, it really is.
I mean, you can do some fairly good pinpoint aiming with a controller if you're, you know, careful and used to it, but it just does not compare to a mouse and keyboard. And I don't want to get into that whole thing here because I'm sure you know you could spend an hour talking about mouse and keyboard versus controller. So
yes, you can.
We won't even do that right now. But the main thing about the single player is that it's good.
Okay? Yeah, it's good.
The checkpoint system sucks, but the single player overall is very good.
Visuals are outstanding, in my opinion.
Yeah,
we'll
get to the visuals in a little bit, but I want to do the single player, because the single player starts in Mexico City.
Yep.
Or maybe not Mexico City, but someplace in Mexico. It might be Mexico City, I don't remember now. But it doesn't start right off the bat in Las Vegas. It goes from Mexico to Las Vegas. And when you transition from Mexico to Vegas, the visual change is incredible.
It really is.
Mexico is just a, like, I wouldn't say dreary looking, but kind of a drawn out, really flesh tone color textures, really,
right.
You know, I wouldn't say realistic looking Mexico, but a lot more drab looking.
Very, very dull color palette, basically.
Yeah. And then when you go to Vegas, boy, wow.
No, yeah.
We're going to go into the visuals here, because, as everyone knows, Rainbow Six Vegas is one of the first games released to use the Unreal 3 engine, right? And the Unreal Engine 3.
Right.
Unreal 3 engine. But the visuals in the game are very good. Now, I've seen many reviews compare them to Gears of War. Okay, we're not going to do that, because the main difference here is that Gears of War was developed in-house at Epic, who obviously knew the engine,
right,
whereas Rainbow Six Vegas was not. So we're not going to even compare the two. Graphically speaking, Rainbow Six Vegas is delicious.
No, it really is.
It has incredibly good color palette. It's very vibrant. The little details that they add, like if you go into the casino and start shooting a slot machine, and
the coins
come out.
Yeah,
I mean, that's
it is real cool.
Good. If in another part of the casino, there's like an aquarium slash something with a shark in it or whatever the hell that is.
You were able to bust a window? Don't tell me that.
No, but if you shoot it, and water spurts out.
Really?
Yeah.
I never got it. I tried. It was my first instinct. Can I break this aquarium?
You can't break it, but you can shoot it and you'll see water come out.
I must have not shot it right. I got to go back and try it tonight. I want to see the water.
Yeah, the water, that's another thing. If you go to certain maps with water, the water is much better looking than Unreal 2 engine games.
Oh yeah, for sure.
The water is very nice looking. Textures, like I said, Mexico is a little, not so hot. When you get to Vegas, textures are really nice. But needless to say, the visuals are really nice. Like I said, I do not have a high-def TV. I assume, being that you have a high-def TV, it looks way better than it does on a standard-def TV.
It looks just fantastic. I mean, just to put it in perspective, I have my 360 set up in my living room, and my girlfriend can't stand me playing video games, and she is always complaining, but she will comment if a game looks good visually, and it was the first thing that she said when I got to Vegas. She just said, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the way I measure how good a graphics are, if I actually get her attention by it. And so, I mean, she said right away, that's just amazing looking. Especially, you start off in the helicopter, just, the lip syncing's a little off. I will have to be picky and say that, but just the characters even, I mean, it's pretty good models too, so.
Yeah, it is. And if we're going to go nitpicking, I think the only thing I can say negative about the graphics is the damn bloom.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I wish developers would just lay off the bloom / HDR. It's just so overused, it's ridiculous.
It's one of my biggest pet peeves, actually.
Yeah, it is. Mine too. I just can't stand it anymore. And the sad part is the PC version, you could actually disable that. You could turn off both HDR and Bloom. Of course, if you turn HDR, the game looks like crap, but
right,
that's another story. So the graphics are really good. So now moving from the graphics to the audio, which we're going to do really quickly because we've got to move it along here. The audio is very good also. Obviously, if the sound matches the graphics of shooting a slot machine and having coins come out, obviously the audio is terrific too.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, the audio is very good, spot on. The weapons all sound good, although I will say, compared to Call of Duty 3, the weapons do sound overall much less powerful.
I will agree with that.
Than I would have hoped. Yeah,
I will agree
do.
With that.
The submachine guns sound like the light machine guns, and they sound like the assault rifles. The only ones that really sound any different are the shotguns.
The shotguns, I was just going to say, that's the one that has, any kind of kick behind it at all, actually.
Yeah. But then again, the most accurate gun in the game, which if I remember correctly, was the UMP-40, is the most accurate gun in the game, not the most powerful, obviously. And that one actually does sound different. I think the developers must have known people were going to use the most accurate gun with the most accuracy, so I guess
right,
maybe they went with that. But needless to say, the audio is very good. Now, like we said, in the single player is the story. It's not a very deep storyline. Obviously, it's that the Rainbow Six team is trying to prevent these moronic terrorists from wiping out hotels all over Vegas. We won't go into details because I don't know if you beat the single player. I haven't beat it. But
I haven't beat it either.
Yeah, I don't know the ending. I'm assuming it's they stop the terrorists, obviously.
Right.
So, the single player is good. I've gotten in about 9 levels or so, or 8 levels, and it's very good.
No, I'm still playing it, actually. I mean, that's kind of a testament to it. I haven't given up on it yet,
Yeah, it's a good single player.
Definitely.
The multiplayer, I think, is terrific. I think it's more fun than Call of Duty 3, and I love Call of Duty 3 multiplayer. I think the The ranked and player matches that you can have over live for Rainbow Six Vegas are incredibly good.
No, yeah.
The you have sharpshooter, team sharpshooter, or as they're known on the PC, deathmatch and team deathmatch. You have attack and defend. You've got survival and team survival, and then you got co-op story mode and co-op terrorist hunt.
Terrorist hunt is I really like that.
Terrorist hunt is probably my favorite mode. Yeah.
Me too.
The I believe there's another mode, if I'm not mistaken. I can't remember right now. But there's some good modes there. There's quite a lot to choose from. Always enough people playing that game.
Yep.
Ranked, not so much. Not quite as much ranked matches as I would have liked to see. There's quite a lot of people playing the player matches, though. A lot of people like the team sharpshooter, a.k.a. team deathmatch, and a lot of people like attack and defend and co-op terrorist hunt. Now, since we're going to discuss that, I think terrorist hunt, which you said and what I said is my favorite mode, what it is both for story and terrorist hunt, you can only have a max of four players. And what it is depending on your difficulty level, and you can, I think you can choose it on the 360 version. I know you can on the PC version. You can actually choose the amount of terrorists, or a density, I guess you could say, not the exact amount. But it's either one, two, well, you can't play by yourself, kind of stupid, but two, three, or four players playing together on these co-op maps, which are these sort of like the single-player maps. And it's you against 30, 40, or 50 terrorists with a time limit. And it's just you running around killing terrorists. And it's extremely fun. It's very strategic because you have to, you really have to, if you have a time limit, you really got to work with your buddies and know the map and know what you're doing.
Yeah, not only that, I think they might have boosted the AI even too, because it seems like it's not that it's super easy to die, but I mean, if you just go in, run and gun, you're going to die pretty much.
Oh, you're going to die, yeah. And I have to mention, that's another thing that I really want to touch on, because my friend mentioned this when we played on the PC version, is that the terrorist on the multiplayer version, they talk smack to you and talk to each other, and it's so realistic. It's freaky. I mean, one terrorist will go, I can't say the word, but that chick owed me money, or whatever it was, or, you know, you killed him, I'm going to kill you now, or, you know, stuff like that. It's really good stuff.
Yeah, you effing, they do it a lot, actually. It's pretty funny.
The B word, if people must know.
Yep.
So, obviously, you both love the multiplayer. I think the multiplayer is actually better than the single player.
No, without a doubt. I mean, I think that's where the game truly shines. I'm curious to know how many people actually have beaten the single player. That's how much I think the multiplayer is... What really it? I mean, honestly, if you have a choice to play the two, it's almost a no-brainer. Literally, the first day I got it, a friend of mine already had it for like 2 or 3 days, and I called him up, and he was like, "All right, I'll send you the invite now." And we just did terrorist hunt all night. You know, I mean, it was that much fun. So
it is, yeah. I think for a final score for Rainbow Six Vegas, I'm going to go with a 9 or a 90 out of 100 or 9.0, because I love both single player and multiplayer for that.
I think I'll give it an 85, same as Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's a really good game. I think people should really look into it if you haven't for the 360, and it is for the PC also. We need more players in the PC version, so if you want to get both versions, go for it. Our next review, and we're going to do a fast one here, is Lost Planet.
All right.
Which was the big Capcom release earlier in January, which is a... I don't know if it's underrated, if you want to say it's underrated, but it's an extremely less big release than, say, Call of Duty 3 or Gears of War, even Rainbow Six. I think Lost Planet is a terrific game. I'll say right off the bat, I think Lost Planet overall, compared to Call of Duty 3 or Rainbow Six Vegas, compares very well to both of them, and I think the multiplayer for Lost Planet actually... is better than Gears of War, Call of Duty 3, or Rainbow Six Vegas.
I was going to say the same thing, actually. I definitely think it's a very underrated game. I really think people are missing out on it. It's just so unique and different, and it's the multiplayer. I mean, we'll get into the multiplayer in more detail, but it's fun. There's no other way to put it, but it's fun. You know?
So doing a quick review of Lost Planet, because I don't want to be a 2.5-hour show here. We're going to do a real quick review. So we'll do the single player first.
All right.
Single player takes place on a planet that's like 10 billion miles away or 10 billion light years away. I don't remember the name of it. Doesn't really matter. The storyline doesn't make much sense.
The storyline's one of the worst storylines out there.
There are a lot of reviews that have already touched on this. Storyline is retarded. I mean, not retarded, but it's just really stupid. The voice acting, I think, was decent. Some reviews said it was kind of crappy. I thought it was decent. The storyline is just done very poorly overall. Let's put it that way.
Definitely.
Yeah. However, the game of the single player is very good.
A lot of fun to me.
Yeah. It's pretty much you're on a distant planet. There's been some big cataclysm where humanity was like almost wiped out or something. And you're on this big giant snowball of a planet where it's 10 billion degrees below zero. There's a 10 billion number again. And you have to survive by having T-Eng or T-Eng or whatever the hell they want to call it.
Yeah, T-E-N-G.
Yeah, T-E-N-G, which is this goo, this orange goo that comes out of these giant Starship Trooper-like insects, which I can't remember the name of.
Iraq? No.
No, you're right. That's Starship Troopers.
We'll figure it out eventually.
Acrid. That's it, Acrid.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah. See, there you go. It's these acrid, that the giant insects from Starship Troopers that they transplanted over, and this is orange goo that comes out of them when you kill them, and it's really a nice little kind of strategic thing for the single player where you gotta make sure you have enough of this orange goo in you to keep yourself alive.
Right.
Otherwise, if you run out, you freeze to death.
And I personally happen to love that little switch on things, but I did read a lot of negative complaints about that, and there was literally only one time in the game where it was truly an issue for me. I mean, I always felt the pressure that I needed to have it, but it literally only affected one level for me. And other than that, you know, as long as you kind of kept on top of getting it by, like, you know, you could blow up the little oil canister looking things and all that. As long as you kind of kept on top of it, I never really thought it was an issue. And I just thought it was a nice little...
I think that was the issue people had, was that it was so abundantly available to you that it wasn't an issue.
Right.
And that was the big problem people had, which I kind of agree with. I guess that
yeah,
is an
I
issue.
Guess
I don't know if you change the difficulty level, if it changes it or not. But I guess some people might see that as a problem. I think it's good because, you know, I don't want to have to rush through a level and be worried that I'm going to freeze to death every
right.
single time.
Right.
You know, now... Back to the other parts of the single player, there are so many enemies that you have to kill on screen.
It's so cool.
it's amazing. There's a part where you go into this cave in the very beginning of the game almost,
yep.
and these flying acrid are coming at you, and they try to like buzzsaw you pretty much.
Yep.
And there's just so many on screen. It's incredible that this 360 could even do that.
Yeah, I mean, it runs flawless, too.
Truly
impressive.
I didn't see any hiccups.
None at all.
Slow down. And graphics we'll get later, but it looks stupendous. But... the storyline is retarded.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't gotten all the way through the single player again.
I've really beaten it, actually.
There you go. I'm sure the ending was retarded, just like the rest
of
it.
Oh, man, you don't even know.
The other thing we should really touch on the single player, other than the fact that you have a grappling hook, which adds another little strategic thing to it, is that you have giant boss battles at the
yep.
end of every level.
The VS suits.
Right, with the VS suits, giant mechs, which I think are terrific.
I could have played the entire game with just one of them. That's how much I love
flying with the missiles or something.
Yep. I mean, all just the whole element of bringing the VS into it and just how good they were to control. I mean, that's really what sets this game apart from other games. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I think the mechs were a nice little touch too. I think they should have had more of it.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
I mean, it was very limited, I think, in the single player, and very limited in the multiplayer.
Now that you touch on it, that kind of was my only beef to it, is that it was such a formula, you know, go through foot on foot, get to end a level, play boss in VS suit, and there happens to be a couple laying around for you as well. You know, like, they kind of made it a little too predictable in that regards. I think there was only one boss that you fought that there wasn't an extra visual suit. I mean, VS suit laying around. So that, if I had to, I will nitpick because that's what I like to do on the forums a lot. Like, that would be one of the things that I would nitpick is, even though, you know, it was a great game overall, it was very much a formulaic game where you kind of knew what to expect after a while.
Yeah, it was. Now, That's not to say that what you do have with the VS suits isn't stupendously fun, because it is.
Right.
And even on foot, it's fun as hell.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it took, if one game had a learning curve to get used to the controls, I would say this is it, too. The controls are a little, you know, when you first pick it up, you're like, and another, we mentioned animations earlier in Call of Duty 3. This game is truly guilty of the animation syndrome. I mean, just to, you know, when you fall down and the whole process of getting up, I mean, it really seemed like 5 seconds later you're finally up, you know, so.
Well, I didn't find that really impacted gameplay. I think that was just a nice visual touch, I think. You know, sort of like a realistic kind of, oh, look, an explosion just happened next to me, but I'm not damaged, but I'm kind of pushed to the side and I got to get up. I think that was what it was.
Yeah, I don't think it impacted single player, but I think it impacted
the
multiplayer,
which we
could talk about later.
Yeah, well, we're going to go into multiplayer now.
All right, cool.
What we're going to do is we're going to go right into multiplayer, which has, I think, some of the most fun I've had on the 360 so far.
Definitely, and I think it's... I mean, I hate to kind of bring this up, but I also think it's one of the better crowds overall, too. You know, I mean...
Yes. You know what? I noticed that there's a lot of kids, and I don't want to... I know we have a lot of kids on you, and I don't want to, like, you know, alienate them, but the Call of Duty 3, not so much Rainbow Six, but Call of Duty 3 has a lot of kids playing it.
Right.
You know, you'll go on at, like, 2 in the morning, and there's, like, a 10-year-old playing
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what the hell?
Exactly.
Aren't your parents, like, supposed to have you in bed for school?
Right, exactly.
You know, but Lost Planet does have a very mature crowd.
Yeah, everyone's down to help each other out.
Right, and a lot of the players are not from the United States. They're from Japan.
Yep.
Believe it or not, where, you know, there's like 5 360s.
Yep, all 10 of them.
Europe, a lot of Europeans.
A lot.
And some Australians, too. So we have a very good crowd going in Lost Planet multiplayer.
Yeah, that's what's... I really love that whole international vibe, honestly. It's like...
Yeah. And they're releasing... not to interrupt you. They're releasing a patch on the 9th of March, I believe it was, or 19th.
Yep.
Where they're including country flags and other things for multiplayer now, too. So you can actually know exactly where someone's from. And,
which I think is very cool.
Yeah, I think that's cool, too. Now, because we've got to speed things up here, we'll go real quick with the multiplayer. There's
Team Elimination, Post-Grab, Fugitive.
Right. There's only 3 game modes.
Yep.
Team Elimination is obviously, you know, Team Elimination. Post-Grab and the other one.
Fugitive.
Fugitive is actually pretty unique. It's the server, guy running the server, is the fugitive, and everyone else has to hunt him, which is actually pretty fun. I've only played that a couple times.
Me
now,
too.
Post and Grab is pretty much sort of like a battlefield type of thing where you got to control each point, and each point is a device that gives you TNG or TNG or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just a spawn point, not a spawn point, an energy point that you control, and you got to control all of them. There's like 3 or 4 of them on a map or whatever it is, and that's Post and Grab, Of course, Team Elimination, which is nothing more than Team Deathmatch.
Post and Grab is really the one, I think.
Post and Grab is actually very good. I played Team Elimination pretty much all the time, though. That's just me. I just happen to like them more than Post and Grab.
Really?
But, yeah, there's like 9 maps, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe a little
that
less.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, there's also...
good variety of maps, though, definitely.
Yeah, the maps are terrific. All in the snow. You know, you gotta,
yeah.
You gotta remember that. They're all in the snow. All in the snow, and there's always a blizzard going.
There's that one where it's like the lava type thing.
Yeah,
that's
well,
it.
You're in sort of like a industrial inside area thing.
Right. Like
that's true, yeah.
Train yard gone wrong or something.
Which does actually have a mech on it, which is actually pretty fun.
Oh, yeah, that's the whole mechs in the multiplayer is just... And what I really like about the mechs in the multiplayer... I know
the missiles.
I think they're really well balanced, too. It's like you get in a mech and you would figure that you would be able to just run the entire map, but
yeah,
it's...
Yeah, but you don't, yeah.
Right, and I think they did a real good job with that, too.
Yeah, I think that's something we could touch on with the graphics, too, which we're going to go into now, actually. Well, actually, we should finish multiplayer. We have the 8 or 9 maps, whatever it is. We have the 3 game modes. Tons of people playing it. It's going to be supported. We're going to thankfully be supported by Capcom with a nice new patch. Probably 1 or 2 new maps or something like that.
Hopefully.
I don't know if they're going to add new mechs or anything. I doubt that. But that's the multiplayer. It's just fun as hell.
It runs great, too. I never really had an issue. Yeah. Yep.
I've only had, I think, one or two times where I've lagged out or the server crashed or somebody crashed or anything. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very, runs very smooth. Now, we're going to go into graphics real quick. What can you say? Beautiful.
Absolutely amazing.
You know, compared to Gears of War or Rainbow Six or, you know, Unreal Engine 3, I think the graphics look really good on Lost Planet.
Oh, I think they're just as good as Gears of War. It's just it's a different visual style, you know? I mean, that's what people need to understand.
I think the thing that sticks out for Lost Planet is the smoke effects and the explosions.
Oh, definitely. When you see a rocket, that's...
Yeah, oh my God.
It doesn't get better. Incredible. Yep.
When you're in a mech on a multiplayer map and you shoot the damn missile and like half a mile down the map, it explodes and you see... Oh, it's just great looking.
It really is.
It is, yeah. And when stuff explodes, it looks really good, too.
Yep.
I don't mean explosions as in a missile. I mean like a mech explosion.
Yeah, exactly.
Or something else exploding. It looks really good. So graphically, the game is really nice. It compares very well to everything on the 360. In fact, I would have to say the top three games, that graphically speaking, I think Lost Planet is in the top three there.
Definitely, I'd have to agree.
I think it's really nice. Audio, again, really good. Not quite as good as Call of Duty 3 or Rainbow Six.
No, it isn't.
Music is good.
It is.
The music is really good. It has a very good soundtrack. The voice-over dialogue is garbage. I mean,
you
can't really, you know, you can't really go through that. I mean, if you played it, you know what we're talking about. It's just not that great. Overall, the game is extremely underrated. I wish more people would give it props. It's just a
definitely
awesome game.
Take Rainbow Six and trade it. Well, no, I don't want to say that.
Rainbow
but
Six. take Viva Pinata. How's that? I'm sure people will want to hear that. Hear me say that. But overall, Lost Planet is terrific. Single player, multiplayer, awesome, terrific package together. The collector's edition version comes with an extra map for multiplayer, which is also a really good map. Overall, the game is just really good. I'd have to give it probably a 90 or 99.9.0 also.
Yeah, definitely. I was just about to say the same thing.
Yeah, it's just a really good game. Hopefully we'll have Lost Planet 2 or some sort of downloadable content Capcom available soon, because I just want more. It's just that good.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And it's as funny as it sounds, it reminds me a lot of Resident Evil 4, and that's a good thing, by the way. It's a lot like it, and that's just an amazing game, too. So definitely go and get it if you can, people.
Now we're going to do a quickie little review of an Xbox Live Arcade game, which is also available on the PC, which people might not know about, called Heavy Weapon.
Yes.
Or as the announcer goes, Heavy Weapon! if you play the PC version, or if you know anything about it, it's a PopCap game. Some people hate PopCap. I don't mind them.
No. Nope.
They're a company that makes casual games for the PC, and now they have them for the 360. And it's a 36 meg download on Live. It is a single player and multiplayer, which is not on the PC.
Yep. And, oh, really?
Yeah, the PC does not have multiplayer. It's only a single player.
Interesting.
Exactly. And what it is you're a atomic tank, the little tiny little thing on the screen that shoots things, and it's it's a static background running across the screen, and you're shooting planes and tanks and missiles and, you know, rockets coming down, and it's just, let's put it this way, it gets extremely hectic in single player.
Oh, without a doubt. It kind of reminds me of, I don't know if you remember Moon Patrol.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of Moon Patrol on steroids or something. It's a
good analogy, yeah, it does.
It's like that same basic premise, but it's just, they took it to the 10th degree, you know?
Yeah, it is. And the thing is, I really want to say about the single player, as we go into the multiplayer portion, is that the single player is extremely hectic. I'm only on the fifth level, I think, or the sixth level, and I just can't get past it because it's just so hectic. The multiplayer, which we really want to talk about, is just insanely hectic.
Oh, man.
If you go into a four-player match of Arms Race, or is it War Party? I don't remember which one. I think it's War Party.
War Party, yeah.
If you go into a four-player match of that boy...
There's nothing more hectic, honestly.
It's you can't even describe how hectic it is. And there's an achievement unlock of 12 minutes.
Which I got. Yay.
Which I got, too. I don't know how I did it. You have to survive for 12 minutes. Now, the way War Party is it goes and goes. You respawn as much as you can. It's infinite until everyone is dead at the same time.
Yep.
And as long as one guy is alive, you keep going, and then you just respawn.
Well, so, I could give our listeners a little tip, because when I first played it, I was lucky enough to find a guy that was cool enough to share it. Basically, what we did to get the 12-minute achievement was two of us took one side, two of us took the other, and just concentrated on those two sides and really worked as a team. You know, when the power-ups drop down and they're individually colored for each player, yeah, we'd let them know if they missed a power-up or whatever. And literally, two of us stuck to the side that we were assigned, and I think we went something like 16 minutes or something.
Yeah, that's about as long as I went, too. It just gets so insanely... After about the 10-minute mark, it's just... It's retarded how much is on screen.
It's unbelievable.
It's insane. But that's pretty much... That's the review. I mean, that's the game. It's just hectic.
Yeah, it's mayhem. It's fun. I mean, I think we should mention, so people aren't expecting, you know, great graphics. It is an Xbox Live Arcade game. So, you know, the graphics are comparable to an older school platform type shooter. But
yeah,
they still
go
look
in
good, though,
expecting,
too.
RoboBlitz graphics here.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, the graphics are good. The audio, I think the soundtrack for the main theme is terrifically funny.
Yep.
That's about the only audio there is in the game. I mean, the sounds for the weapons and everything sounds really good.
Yep. And the game has a good sense of humor, too.
It does have a very good sense of humor. And it's 800 points on Xbox Live Arcade. Very highly recommended. I don't know if you want to give it a number. I'd probably give it like an 8.5 or 9.
Yeah, I probably would too. I would just say, really, if you got the points and you're looking for a fun game to play with your friends, look no further. Go get it.
And of course, you could always download the little demo and play the single player too. So,
yeah, exactly.
It doesn't have the multiplayer, but the single player is there. And you can see how you can save. You cannot save, but you can go. I think you can probably finish it. I think I got to the fifth level also on the demo.
Yep.
I don't know if you could finish it, but you can get pretty far. You just can't save. So this is another thing people should keep in mind, that you can just download the demo on Xbox Live Arcade and go to town.
And I have to say, they did a real sly little thing there. While you're playing the demo, it tells you would have an achievement right now.
Right. Yeah.
Buy it now. And that I thought that was a little slick marketing plan. Because it worked for me, I'll put it that way.
Well, I didn't buy it for that reason. I just bought it because it's fun as hell.
Well, no, yeah. I mean, so did I, but I got my achievements.
No, there's people that are achievement whores, you know, which now leads us into our news.
Yep.
The first story we're going to go for is the breaking story today, and I'm sure people might not be happy. Half-Life 2, Episode 2, and Portal, and Team Fortress 2 have now been delayed until fall of this year.
Yep.
Previously, I posted the story. The story was that it was delayed until winter of this year, a.k.a. Christmas. The story was updated, in case you haven't seen the story since the day I posted it. It has now been updated to say fall, which would be, you know, like September or October. Is this really surprising to you? I mean, it's
no, not whatsoever. I was actually going to say I'm glad to hear fall, because now that means it will come out by the winter.
Yeah, well, that's true. I think the main reason why they're delaying it is, one, because it's coming out for PlayStation 3 now, apparently.
Right.
Which is kind of funny, because Gabe Newell, the CEO and, you know, guy from Valve.
Yeah, he has that infamous quote.
PlayStation 3, yeah. Said that PlayStation 3 kind of sucked, pretty much. So I think that's kind of funny, but I think the main reason why it was delayed was because of the console versions.
Right.
This is my thing. I mean,
I happen to think you're right. When you're developing for three platforms, you know, you're going to run into some problems, I would guess, you know?
Yeah.
So
I think that's probably the main reason. I think, you know, some people in the forums and in the comments for the news posts, they both kind of said the same thing, where it's like, oh, it's the curse of Team Fortress 2.
Right.
You know, where it's never going to come out unless it's got Team Fortress 2 attached.
Yeah.
I just don't think that's it. I think it's just the consoles that have affected it.
And
I think
really,
it's the console version that affected, and EA, being the publisher for retail, kind of said, look, we just want it to come out at the same time as retail.
Right.
So don't put it out on Steam in July or August.
Yep. I think that's all factors. And at the end of the day, you know, it is Valve. They're pretty notorious for it. They probably have the most infamous delay in history. And, you know, I'd rather them delay the game and get it right. That's all I can say. So.
Well, that's what I say, exactly.
You know, so I'm still looking forward to it.
Well, some people have said that they don't care anymore and all this other garbage. Well, I guess what? When it comes out, you'll care, because it's going to be awesome.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Portal alone, I think, is going to be worth the price. I truly agree.
I'm waiting for Team Fortress 2. I can't wait for that.
I don't know
how many hours I plunked down in Team Fortress Classic for Half-Life 1. Oh, God. Okay, so we're going to do our next little piece of news, which is the rumor, nothing confirmed, that Epic is considering doing cross-platform multiplayer for the PC and the Xbox 360 version of Unreal Tournament 3. Not Unreal Tournament 2007, Unreal Tournament 3.
3, yep.
Which was renamed not more than a week ago now from 2007 to 3. So the rumor is that somebody from Epic was like, well, it would make sense to have two platforms which are almost identical to have multiplayer that works together and blah, blah, blah. But it's, so, needless to say, a lot of people are speculating that you can play 360 and PC players together. Not PS3 players because they're going to be a different, not different game, but different, setup, I guess.
Network, I guess. Yeah.
So they're not going to be able to play with us. So the PS3 users, all 10 of you are out of luck. Sorry. That's the rumor that they're contemplating like a combined multiplayer for 360 and for a PC, which I think will be awesome.
In theory, I mean, I like the idea. It is cool to let the cross platform people play it, but I'm just really curious about how they're going to implement it all. That's it.
Yeah. Again, it comes down to the controller, a mouse control versus the mouse keyboard versus the controller issue. If you put multiplayer against multiplayer, I'm sorry, I know people are going to disagree with me, a mouse keyboard player is just going to, pretty much own a controller guy almost every time, I think.
Yep.
I just don't think there's a comparison. So that's the rumor. Not much to it. There's just a small little thing that Epic was considering it. One of the guys that works at Epic was talking about it the other day. It's in the forums in the, I think in the
Gamers Hangout, actually.
It's in the Gamers Hangout. I think it's in the Microsoft forum under there. So it's in there if you want to check out the thread. We'll do two little quick blurbs to remind everyone that Halo 3 beta is going to be starting up here pretty soon.
Yep.
So again, for those that don't know, we wanted to do a little discussion on the Crackdown demo, but we're just running kind of long here, so we're going to save that for next time, along with more than likely a review of the game. If you buy Crackdown on February 20th when it comes out, I believe it's every copy. At least in the first batch.
Yeah, the initial batch, basically.
Yeah, the initial batch that will actually come guaranteed into the Halo 3 multiplayer beta. I know, Dirty Larry here, he doesn't really like Halo all that much.
Not a big fan, no. I think it's an overrated game.
A lot of
new
Winnians, well, I don't know if it's overrated. I just think it's too saturated into the market, I think. We can get into a whole discussion on how come Halo 2 was nothing compared to Halo 1, but that's another story. Again, just to remind everyone, if you buy Crackdown on February 20th, one of the first batches, of course, you will get into Halo 3 beta, the multiplayer beta. So that's just a reminder.
And don't get me wrong, I will be playing it. I want to check it out.
Yeah. And then another little thing we're going to touch on real quick is the quote-unquote Halo killer from Sony. Everyone is pretty much speculating that that's the Killzone 2 beta, which will be released before the Halo 3 beta.
Right.
Of course, everyone knows from E3 2005, I don't remember now, I think it was E3 2005, where Sony released that incredible video of Killzone 2,
mm-hmm.
And at the time, they said that that was actual gameplay, but it turned out it was just pre-rendered, of course. Everyone was up in arms how incredible it looked.
Made me
Meanwhile,
want a
we
PS3.
Seen, yeah, exactly. Meanwhile, we haven't seen anything of Killzone 2 since, pretty much. I think it was like one little blurb at I think GDC maybe last year or something.
Yep.
But we haven't heard anything on Killzone 2 since, other than that the one of the guys developing it said that the graphics of the game are actually approaching that pre-rendered video from E3. there you go. Supposedly the Killzone 2 beta is going to be coming out, quote unquote, soon. I don't know how soon it's going to be, but there you go. And that's going to pretty much wrap up our little podcast here that we try limiting to an hour. I don't know how close we are, how far we are, but
I think we're pretty close.
We did our Call of Duty 3 review, our Rainbow Six review, our Lost Planet review, and then we did a little news blurbs along with a heavy weapon review.
Yeah, which basically, to sum it all up, get them all if you can. I think
rent them or buy them. Either buy them used from GameStop or EB, and it's they're all good games. Most of the podcasts we're going to do down the road, if we wind up doing this on a regularly scheduled basis, we're probably not going to be reviewing games every week. This was just a kind of a bonus for our new and fans here. We were probably going to do a review of Crackdown in the future. Probably Halo 3 when it comes out. I'm sure we'll be reviewing that.
Yep.
Along with with games that come out as they come out, we'll be reviewing them. And, of course, we will not be limiting it to the 360. We'll also be discussing the Wii and PlayStation 3 and, of course,
yes,
the PC. So don't feel left out, guys, if you're a PC player like I am. Don't feel like we're stymieing you there. We will be doing PC reviews eventually also and discussing PC stuff. In fact, next time we do a recording, I would very much like to do a little thing on the Burning Crusade expansion for World of Warcraft. That is our podcast for the week of February 9th. I am Locke, Todd Tanner, and
I am Dirty Larry.
Dirty Larry is signing off for our NeoWinCast Gamers Edition podcast.